Thank you very much, Brother Tim, and good morning, brethren and sisters, and especially good morning, Sunday School scholars. Today I get to be everybody's Sunday School teacher for one morning, and I think that sounds fun, and I hope you do too. In autumn, many people find themselves focusing more on thankfulness. Here in Canada, this weekend is the holiday known as Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful opportunity because thankfulness is an important part of living the truth, which is what we're talking about this weekend. That's the theme of our gathering, living the truth. The Bible is clear that we should practice giving thanks to God regularly. For example, there are 39 references to the phrase, give thanks, in the Bible. There are also 5 times that the phrase giving thanks is used. 3 times we see giving of thanks. 4 times in the past tense as given thanks, and 11 more as gave thanks. And 29 times we see the word thanksgiving used in the Bible. Altogether, that means there are a total of 80 references throughout the Bible to the act of expressing gratitude in the giving of thanks. The Bible is just absolutely filled with commands and examples like this. Most verses go on to list reasons why we should thank God, such as His love endures forever, or His mercy endures forever, or He is good, His mercy is everlasting, He has made all things. And we see examples, individuals like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, many others, offered up sacrifices out of gratitude in the book of Genesis. The Israelites sang a song of thanksgiving as they were delivered from Egypt after crossing the Red Sea. Later, the Mosaic Law set aside 3 times each year when they gathered together to commemorate God's provision and care. The book of Psalms is packed full of songs of thanksgiving, both for God's goodness to the Israelites through His mighty deeds, as well as for His individual graces to each of His children. Indeed, we remember that even Jesus Christ, knowing exactly what lay ahead of Him, gave thanks on the very night in which He was betrayed. All this and more, anywhere we look at Scripture, we are reminded that being thankful, thanksgiving, must absolutely be a foundation of our lives every day, a very critical part of living the truth. But today's talk has an important question in the title. Why we give thanks unto God? Now, interestingly, the question, why, has more than one meaning. Pause and think for a second what I might mean by that. What do I mean by saying that the question, why, has more than one meaning? Well, when we ask why we should do something, what are we really asking? First, we might be asking for reasons to do it. Second, we might be asking what benefit we get from doing it. Third, we might be asking what difference it makes. Today, for Sunday School, I'm going to talk about all of this. First of all, what reasons do we have to thank God? Well, I already mentioned all those verses and examples, plus the number of times the Bible commands it. If that's not enough, let's look at some specific reasons to give thanks. We should do it because of what God has done in the past, because of what He gives us now, and because of the very fact of who He is. We read, "Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." Psalm 95, verses 2 to 3. Think about some of the great things God has done. I mean, big things. He has created the world. Every day we wake up and look out our windows, we have the opportunity to appreciate God's handiwork. God created the earth for his pleasure and ours, and he took great care in the process of making it. Every detail was intentional. He also stepped in to create a plan to save mankind after the sin in Eden. And he saw that plan through, all the way to providing his own special, well-beloved son as a sacrifice to make it possible for others to be redeemed. Paul says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. Indeed, the baptized brothers and sisters who are tuning in today from all over the world have all been made special partakers of that benefit. We are all grateful for being called away from the world's darkness and invited to benefit from that sacrifice. "The thanks be to God," Paul says, "which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. And again we read, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Colossians 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. Giving thanks because God has qualified us to share in the hope of the promises made to the faithful. He did this through his word, making himself and his plan known. When God revealed the king's dream to Daniel, Daniel offered a prayer saying, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee." Daniel 2, verse 23. Now we may not experience God through dreams and visions, but we do have access to his wisdom because of another way he made himself known. Now, do you know what I might be referring to? David said, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Psalm 119, verse 62. And Paul wrote, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. God's righteous judgments, his word. We are immensely blessed to have access to the whole Bible. On any given day, we can be impacted by the life-renewing power within its pages. In the Bible, we have history, poetry, laws, teachings, predictions of the future, good advice for life, examples of people we should pattern ourselves after. It's a resource full of wisdom and right thinking, and God is pleased when we use this gift and thank him for it. There's also much more that God has given us. Many verses in the Bible tell us to thank him for his unfailing love, his enduring mercy, his grace, which means that he shows favor and kindness even if we don't deserve it, and his dependability. He has also given us the support, encouragement, and faith of others to sustain and cheer us. And we gather this weekend for that reason. And this is definitely something we need. And God gives us what we need. And that is one of the many reasons why we ought to be thankful to him. Now, as far as benefits go, It is the tendency of natural human flesh to focus inward and become selfish and self-centered, which is not good for you. By contrast, feeling and expressing appreciation is good for us. Scholars, I want you to pause right now and think of the ways how it can be good for us to be thankful. What are some of the positive results, good things that it does? Training our hearts to be thankful has many positive results. First of all, it pleases God. As a wise father, God wants us to learn good manners, not just to other people on the earth, but especially toward him too. He wants us to appreciate all that he does for us and provides to us. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. James 1 verse 17. To remember this and say thank you for those things is proper, because it shows respect and politeness, and this makes God happy. David wrote, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31. He's saying that praise and thanksgiving please our Heavenly Father far more than animal sacrifices ever did. That's why Paul says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Praise and thanks are the best kind of sacrifice, as is obedience. Now, the next question comes up, why should it be considered a sacrifice to be thankful? Sacrifice means giving up something. How is it a sacrifice to say thank you to God? Well, perhaps not to say it, but to mean it sincerely requires effort on our part. You see, we as human beings are sinful creatures, prone to selfishness, covetousness, and entitlement. Without gratitude, we become arrogant and self-centered. We begin to believe that we have achieved everything on our own. That's the natural thinking of our mortal, frail minds. And when we give thanks, we let go of this false idea that we are so important and capable by ourselves. And instead, we give credit where credit is due. It keeps us humble and reminds us of our need for God. We were never intended to be fully self-sufficient in this life. It is in our best interest to be reminded that everything we have is available to us, not because of something special about ourselves, but because our lives are filled with loving gifts from God, the one who graciously gives good things and perfect things of all kinds. Thankfulness means giving up our own sense of accomplishment, and it keeps our hearts in a right relationship to the real source of all good gifts. Gratitude also helps to guard against envy or covetousness. For the younger ones, that is a way of saying jealousy. I want you to think about this. If we are thankful, how can it stop us from feeling jealous? The natural sinful mind makes us want what someone else has. We tend to look at the greener grass on the other side of the fence, or at the sparkly things in other people's hands. If we follow only our natural feelings, we end up wanting bigger things, better things, and more things. And when we don't get what we want, we can become discouraged, sad, bitter, angry, and envious. That's not good. In that frame of mind, we can make terrible decisions. Remember, Remember those first chapters of Genesis and the very first temptation. The serpent questioned Eve, asking, "Did God really say that you can't eat from any of the trees in the garden?" When Eve responded, "Only one tree was off limits," the serpent still suggested that God was keeping good things from them. "You will not certainly die," he lied to Eve, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And that was all it took. In a garden that was perfect, that produced abundantly, without work or weeding, where every single plant, except for one, had been given to Adam and Eve, the impulses of fleshly thinking caused them to focus on what they perceived to be lacking. We all know how dangerous that turned out to be. You see, if we aren't grateful for what God has already given us, nothing will satisfy us. Getting bigger and better things won't actually do it. We will always just want more. But if we sacrifice or give up that desire and the feeling that we deserve better, we let go of that. Then gratitude makes us realize God has already given us far more than we deserve. And it reminds us that he will not keep good things away from us. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84, verse 11. In other words, God will not keep back any good thing from people who are trying to live life the way he wants us to. He may decide we need smaller amounts of those things or at a different pace than what we wanted, but that's okay. If we're thankful enough, we can be patient and accept his timing. A wholly grateful heart has no room left in it for impatience or envy or covetousness or bitterness or sadness. It protects us from focusing on what we don't have. When we focus on blessings rather than wants, we are happier. When we thank God for how much we do have, including things we usually take for granted, our perspective changes. We realize that we could not even exist without the merciful blessings of God. There's a beautiful cycle in this. The more that we practice thanking God, the more we learn to see him working in us and around us, which helps us to better appreciate his personal care and his perfect timing, and makes us more thankful. And the cycle continues. And that appreciation and that calm acceptance of the way things are, that's what the Bible calls contentment. Being thankful is the key to contentment. It helps to keep us from being arrogant or grieved or jealous. It prevents discouragement and impatience. Plus, it serves as a testimony to others, like David saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." Psalm 105, verse 1. So to give thanks to God is to proclaim his greatness. When we thank God openly and acknowledge what he has done for us, we let the whole world know we are loved by a personal, caring God who is full of goodness. We show that contentment and peace come not from what we have, but rather from who we know and what we know. Thankfulness serves as a demonstration to others that it's best to belong to God. It's interesting to know when and how we're told to express our thanks. Essentially, the Bible says to do it always, at all times, morning and evening, day and night. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. and again with Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Daniel 6, verse 10. And in the New Testament, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3, verse 17. In fact, more than once, Paul tells us that thanksgiving should always be part of all our prayers. Remember that verse from Hebrews 13 that I mentioned earlier? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Continually. He says the same thing to the Colossians. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians 4, verse 2. In other words, devote yourselves constantly to prayer, being watchful and thankful and full of praise continually. But what about when we don't feel thankful? Because we are mortal and none of us is perfect, and because the world is broken and wicked, we will not always feel thankful for our circumstances. Some days will be harder than others. Paul told the Thessalonians, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did you catch that? In everything. Without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. We are to be thankful, not only for the things we like, but for the things we don't like too. Because he allows those to come into our lives to help us grow, to be more like Christ. Jesus lived a life filled with difficult circumstances. We can have thankful hearts toward God, even when we don't appreciate the circumstances. We can grieve and still be thankful that we are not abandoned and that we have hope beyond our grief. We can hurt and still be thankful that our high priest understands that hurt because he experienced hurting too. We can be disappointed by the effects of sin and still be thankful to God for offering us a day when sin will be no more. It may not be easy, but we have to look beyond the immediate reaction we experience and learn to think in more godly ways. Remember, this is what the Bible calls a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, verse 15, once more. We have to change our way of thinking. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 1, verses 2 to 4. In other words, consider your various trials to be reasons for joy, for you know that the testing of your faith can make you steadfast and complete. Just a few verses later, he adds, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James 1, verse 12. Even when unpleasant things are coming at us and we aren't thrilled, we should still aim to express gratitude because we can trust that God is working in us through those not so great circumstances to develop us and prepare us for eternal life. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. And For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. So, since God uses all things for the benefit of those who love him, then we can expect that even hardship and difficulties in our life have purpose, even if we can't understand it yet. Ugly and unpleasant things are part of all things, and God is using them, and he is using them for good toward us. If suffering and trials help us to mature, then those experiences are worth it, even though we don't like the way they feel in the moment. When Paul wrote to encourage the Corinthians, he said the momentary afflictions that we encounter in this life are producing what he called an eternal weight of glory in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. He also said that the sufferings we encounter today are nothing compared to the glory that we will see in the future, Romans 8, verse 18. And this kind of big picture, long-term perspective helps us to be thankful that God is using difficult things in our lives to make our future prospects better. We can take a lesson from Paul and his companion Silas. They were in chains in a dungeon at Philippi, and yet they prayed and sang praises unto God. We read that in Acts 16, verse 25. That eventually caused one person to learn the truth, and then others in his household. And eventually an ecclesia was formed in that city, all because Paul and Silas chose thankfulness that night over bitterness. Later, Paul wrote to that ecclesia at Philippi and said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. His meaning is that we should not be anxious about anything, but approach every situation with prayer and petition, along with thanksgiving. The giving of thanks must be part of our requests made to God. And that way, with this attitude, we will experience a godly kind of peace that goes beyond what plain human thinking understands. Incidentally, Paul was actually in jail again when he wrote these words to the Philippians, bound and captured and persecuted because he believed the truth. Despite the hardship, he wrote these words. This helps us to understand a bit about the difference that thankfulness and thanksgiving can make. If we are supposed to give thanks even when we don't feel like it, even when nothing around us makes it appear that there is something to be thankful for, then it's not just a matter of reacting how we feel when we feel. Instead, it's actually a mark of obedience, to acknowledge the goodness and mercy of God, even when our own natural thinking can't immediately see it. It's a command, and we obey that command. We read in Hebrews 12, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Hebrews 12, verse 28. Now, the idea of thankfulness is actually hidden in our translation. Many other English versions translate "let us have grace" in this verse as "let us show gratitude" or "let us have thanksgiving" instead. For example, the Amplified Bible says, "Therefore, since we know we will receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken or displaced, let us show gratitude and offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with reverence and awe." We are commanded to give thanks as an acceptable way to serve God. We must exercise our thankfulness muscles in order to learn to obey this command as often as possible. Excuse me. The more we do, the Bible shows us that we will notice more and more things to be grateful for, and it will come more easily. This is an essential part of living the truth. In fact, one of the characteristics of the wickedness of the last days is unthankfulness. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, and so on goes the list. From such turn away. We read it in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through to 5. This is the state of the world that we see around us. Now, by contrast, having an attitude of gratitude helps to combat the flesh and to refocus our thinking. And it pleases God. In this age, when we are even closer to seeing the return of Christ, that should awaken in us greater determination to be known as God's children and, therefore, to show more gratitude for his wonderful promises. In fact, if we really think about it, our simple thank yous to God hardly seem like enough in light of all his blessings to us, his love, his care, his mercy and forgiveness, his wondrous word in our hands, his creation, his promises and plans, and his invitation to live forever in a perfect world. It may not be enough, but whenever we express thanks, he gladly receives our praises. Thanksgiving brings us to a place of humility, a place of reverence, and a place of joy. And that is exactly how God wants us to live every day. Thank you, scholars and brethren and sisters, for your time this morning.
We appreciate Brother Dan's words very much.